Ucsu namo namaste kia yajna tantavi shito vritama shatva mutaye disha hato yam jagatam rundudash vat pada bhakta vayam tisha vrita.
Translation. The demigods address the Lord. All obeisances unto you. You are the enjoyer of all sacrifices, and you have assumed the form of a boar in pure goodness, for the purpose of maintaining the world. Fortunately for us, this demon, Hiranyaksha, who was a torment to the worlds, has been slain by you, and we too, O Lord, are now at ease in devotion to your lotus feet. The material world consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. But the spiritual world is pure goodness. It is said here that the form of the Lord is pure goodness, which means that it is not material. In the material world, there is no pure goodness. In the Bhagavatam, the stage of pure goodness is called Sattvam Vishuddham. Vishuddham means pure. In pure goodness, there is no contamination with the two inferior qualities, namely passion and ignorance. The form of the boar, therefore, in which the Lord appeared, is nothing of the material world. There are many other forms of the Lord, but none of them belong to the material qualities. Such forms are not different from the Vishnu form, and Vishnu is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. Know from our study of this great Mahabhagavatam, Grantaraj. Grant means Shastra of Scripture, and Raj means king. So our acharyas have designated this book, these 12 cantos, as Grantaraj, the king of all scriptures, because they deal wholly and solely with the Panamgati of spiritual life, the goal of spiritual life, which is pure devotional service to Vishnu. And here in this verse, we're hearing about a demon, not just any demon. Just like one time Prabhupada said, my spiritual master, he was no ordinary spiritual master. He saved me. Of course, we never think of the spiritual master as ordinary. There's no ordinary spiritual master. But as Jiva Goswami has enlightened us, in spiritual life there's perfect, there's more perfect, and there's most perfect. There's Dwarka, as Jiva Goswami says, there's Mathura, and there's Vrindavan, which is the most perfect. So also we may find amongst those who are rendering the service of initiating and guiding their disciples out of the material world and back to the spiritual world, we'll also find the most perfect amongst them. So my spiritual master was no ordinary spiritual master. He saved me. So on the polar opposite side of the spectrum, this Hiranyaksha and his twin brother, Hiranyakashipu, they were no ordinary demons. They disturb everyone. Demon is one whose recreation is to harass others. Generally, they're bullies. They pick on the little guys, the innocent members of society. Innocent means defenseless, like children, ladies, cows, brahmanas, old people. These are the object of the wrath of these big bullies, these big demons. And as we mentioned yesterday, Prahlad Maharaj, he addressed his father as, O best of the Asuras. O best of the Asuras. He liked that in Hiranyakashipu. He liked that title. So his brother was no less great in this Asuric activity. They both appeared somewhere near the beginning of creation and began their nefarious activities. And to make a long story short, yadayadahi pravitranaya sadhanam vinashaya tatuskritam, Krishna says. When it's necessary, when these big demons appear, Krishna comes to protect his devotees, annihilate the demons, and reestablish the principles of religion. So it was that no one could match either Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu, so the Lord came. And they met their match. Krishna's Ajit is unconquerable. And this verse that we found today in the Bhagavatam, you could say this is the culmination of many verses which describe the battle between Varaha and Hiranyaksha. Actually, Hiranyaksha, no one could defeat him. And he had actually, along with Hiranyakashipu, conquered the three worlds, Bhur, Bhuva, Ashvaha, Shvarloka. There was no match. After conquering the universe, Hiranyaksha had one foe left, and that was Varuna. It's described here earlier in the chapter. Varuna was very, very powerful amongst the devatas as well. He controls the oceans, the seas. But he was very old. He didn't feel confident to fight Hiranyaksha. He considered that discretion is a better part of valor. So he used some diplomacy. He told Hiranyaksha, came and said, "You're the last of the suras who I have to engage in combat with to win dominion over all of this universe. I want to fight with you." And Varuna said, "I'm not prepared to fight." He said, "I'm too old for combat." Like Bob Marley said, "Run away to fight again another day." Much of warfare is based on deception. So perhaps Varuna was thinking, "I won't fight him face to face. I'll fight like we did here in America during the American Revolution when the British came. They were more powerful than our, what do they call those little bands of soldiers in America?
Militiamen,
yeah. They actually were one of the first soldiers to engage in guerrilla warfare. Guerrilla warfare means hit and run, hide and seek. The Britishers were marching down the road, and our militiamen would hide in the bushes and pick them off in their red coats, one after another. God bless America. I don't want to instill a patriotic spirit in you because you're not this body, you're not American, but just to show you how deception. So Varuna, very intelligent these days, "I'm too old for combat. I recommend somebody else. You can go and fight Vishnu." It's not that these type of people are afraid to fight. They're always looking for fights. That's Kathriya. Sudras are always looking for some manual labor. They love to build and construct. One temple after another temple after another temple, they have the golden hands. Like someone has the green thumb, Sudras have the gold thumb. They love to build and construct. Vaishyas, money, money, money is the honey, money is the honey, it's so sweet, it can't be beat. Or the Vaishyas like to milk the cows. You know, have you ever tried to milk a cow? You have to pull in the teeth, you have to pull down, and your fingers have to go like this, and you squeeze. I did it one time. It took me 5 hours to get a product of milk. Kshatriyas, they like to fight. They'll always take up a challenge. That's That's why we lost Vietnam, Prabhupada said. Because they were sending the sutra boys and the vaishyas, the cowyokers and the builders, to fight with guns. And Kshatriyas and Brahmins, they like to preach. They cannot stand cleanliness. They're always cleaning around them. You can't stand dirt, and dirt is also represented by ignorance. So they're always cleaning and always destroying ignorance by satyam, satyam, param, satyam, establishing the absolute truth as Krishna. So when Varuna suggested that Hiranyaksha, he'll find his match in Lord Vishnu, Hiranyaksha wasn't afraid. Akachi will never run away from battle. He would prefer to face his opponent and either win or die. This is a soldier. You need them. They are required in society to protect the innocent against the harassment of the Mahayana. So, then there was a great battle. There was a great battle that took place between the two, and Varuna predicted as Hiranyaksha was going to find Vishnu, he predicted, he said, I predict that you will lie down on the field of battle surrounded by dogs for eternal sleep. A lot of strong words are used. So it was a long battle. We won't go into details, although I'm sure you'd love to hear it. But everyone was fearful, the devatas were fearful that Hiranyaksha might win. Why were the devatas fearful that Hiranyaksha might win? Because they're prakriti bhaktas. They don't have full faith in God. They're bhaktas, but because of their material desires, they don't have full shraddha. It's like when Kalad was being harassed by Hiranyaksha's brother, Hiranyakashipu. The demigods didn't come to his aid. They didn't have enough faith. Rakhe Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakike. If Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. So devatas are mixed devotees. They don't have a full faith. So they were thinking, oh, maybe this demon will win. But, of course, to give faith to the devatas, to give faith to all devotees who have taken shelter of this process of devotional service, the Lord slew that demon very easily. He just took his hoof, as brought in the back of the ear here, kaput. Kaput. You know, those of you who are military men, I don't know where you're going there. But there are certain parts of the body that, with ease, you can subdue your enemy. One is here. This is a street fight, but you just
grab someone here.
And they can't do anything. Technique, probably some of your boys are from the wrong side of the tracks here. You know this technique. Grab your opponent like that, right in the neck. You can't do anything. Try it. So this person sitting next to you. Also the solar plexus, just below the sternum bone. The tendon behind Achilles' tendon in sword fighting, that was the technique. You took the sword and you're fighting someone who's better than you. You just don't try for the heart, but you've got a moment, slice his Achilles' tendon and he'll be off balance, because sword fighting is all about balance. It's finished. And here. Someone gets hit here behind the ear, you could easily, or the eyes, you go, David and Goliath, right? He's a big guy.
Mommy!
Varaha is teaching. No, he's not teaching. And as a result of the death of that demon, Shukadeva Goswami says, the whole world, the whole universe was at ease. Actually, Prabhupada said, in human life, we're not meant to solve the problems of material existence under nasty conditions like cats and dogs. We can live a relatively nice existence, a prosperous life, as long as we don't get intoxicated with our wealth and carried away by our wealth. It's all God's mercy. He doesn't want us to struggle in the jungle like animals. No. Let us live a prosperous life and use the balance of our time for executing Krishna conscious activities. Simple living with eye thinking. So here's an example that with the death of this demon, people were peaceful to practice Krishna consciousness. These asuras are always causing a disturbance and people can't focus. It's like I travel a lot and I've been in countries where there's a lot of oppression from the government, or there's war, or there's famine. And people are so disturbed, they just don't have time to sit down and chant or study. Speak of go to the temple or worship the deity. So the duty of the country is to curb down adharma, curb down the demons, so that people can be peaceful, not for sense gratification. Not that you win the war and everybody just indulges, you know. Again, sense gratification. No. The war is over, now back to a religious way of life. And here in America, you have almost a perpetual state of peace and prosperity. So you should take every advantage of that to become Krishna conscious. Sometimes I see here and there a little laziness, a little conditioning, it's going well, and so then we divide our time between, the desires that are still in our heart and the temple. Actually, sometimes I see in countries where life is very, very difficult, people are more serious about spiritual life. And when they get a spare moment, they call from the hearts, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And all the residents of this universe, when this demon was killed, it's described here that they were very, they were happy. They accepted the death of Hiranyaksha as suitable punishment. A just reward for his evil deeds. Nowadays, I was just reading an article the other day, nowadays there's many people oppose the death penalty. Even for the perpetrators of the most heinous crimes. Their philosophy is, one bad doesn't justify another bad. He was bad, but don't kill. In fact, 128 countries in the world today, which is approximately 2/3 of the world, including Bharatvarsha, including India, they've abolished the death penalty. We would say this is taking the law into your own hands. Because Shastra says, Manu Sunita says, that if someone is killed, he must be killed. Because he himself becomes absolved of that heinous karma in this life. And he's free to start next life without that karma. If you just put him in, give him a long-term sentence or a life sentence, and when he comes out in his next lifetime, he has to get the full reaction. He has to die as well. So in one sense, it's a type of mercy upon the murderer as well, Manasamita says. By taking his life, he's absolved of the karma. Clean slate. Even the Bible says, they're going, they're taking the law into their own hands. Even the Bible says, What does it say? And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. I was an altar boy. I'm a good little cat. I'm in health later on. So this is not a cruel and unjust punishment. Actually, the murder of innocents. No one should lament for the death of a great asura like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. We shouldn't be naive. There's a class of men who were born to cause trouble. I remember in the early days, because I preach mainly outside of America, so I don't know what the situation is now, the bikers. Now the bikers, they seem like old guys, gray hair, pot bellies, and their Harleys. Jeez. When I was in the 60s, you know, the bikers, they were the really tough guys. They had tattoos. Born to lose. I was always scared of those guys. And walking down the street, I'd be very happy. Cross the street, walk down the other side, no problem, buddy. Nowadays, you know, big fat guy, you can hardly see, driving to the graveyard. Born to lose. Padmapurana confirms there's two classes of men in this world. Dva bhuta svargalokasmin daiva asura evacha vishnu bhakta smitho daiva asurushtha. You know that verse? There are two classes of men in this world. One consists of the demoniac, and the other, the godly. That's you. The devotees of the Lord Vishnu are the godly, whereas those who are just the opposite are called demons. Itecham sa kulopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam mukam vidayute juge juge. That is a very important verse to have in your pocket. Prabhupada said, you quote a verse 7 times, it's yours. What could be more valuable than to have that verse and use that verse in your preaching? More valuable than a loaf of gold. That's the Paribhasha Sutra. Paribhasha Sutra means the key verse of the scripture, like Anyavilasita sunyam jnana karma anavitam anukalena krishnanu shilanam bhakta uttama. You should have that in your other part. Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. That's the key verse of bhakti rasa mita sindhu and pure devotion. So itecham, surprisingly, itecham sa kalopumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam. The whole Bhagavatam evolves from that verse, like a seed, a beautiful tree grows and produces flowers and fruits. So Krishna to Bhagavan Swayam. It establishes Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of it, the fountainhead of all existence, with whom we have a very intimate, loving relationship. That's the conclusion of the 10th mantra. So what does that verse say? All the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions, that's a tongue twister. Portions of the plenary portions, Peter Pecker, Victor Pecker, Pickle. Portions of the plenary portions. But Krishna's true Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna, is the original personality of that, from all these incarnations. And then? All of these incarnations appear in the material world whenever there's a disturbance created by the enemies of Indra. Who are the enemies of Indra? The asuras. Indra is a devata. We offer our namaskar to Indraji. He's a devata. He's controlling the rain. Yes. So when the demons come and harass Indra, Govindam Hari Purusham
Tamaham Vajami.
And Govinda comes. And he rescues his devotees. What is the nature of these demoniac people? We can't be naive. We live in the same world. You gotta know what's around you. Etam Trishtam Vashtabhya Nashtamano Buddhaya. Gita. Following such conclusions, the demoniac are lost to themselves and have no buddhaya, no intelligence. They, what do? Go on sankirtan and read books and prasadam and help? No. They engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Albert Einstein said, World War III may be fought with nuclear weapons, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. So these are real people. They're out there. Of course, let us say they're a minority. The mass of people are innocent. Most people are good. They're just gone astray. They've fallen into the sway of all this propaganda, which culminates in sinful activities, and they get themselves all entangled and horrible. But they're not so bad. There's a very small percentage of the asuras who, unfortunately, in Kali, they take the reins and they lead the people. So what to do with them? Well, you can't do much. They're too powerful. But Krishna comes under extreme circumstances and shoo! So don't cry. No one laments when a dangerous bacteria is eliminated, when cancer cells are removed from the body. You don't, now you have people demonstrating on the streets, but the poor people who want democracy and want religious freedom in Tibet. There's people marching. Our brothers and sisters are being killed in Tibet. It's the subject of the hour here in America. You see it all over the television, the newspapers, and the internet. No, you don't. This is not right. But no one's, parading outside the hospital. These doctors are killing the cancer cells. They also have a right to live. Hello. Cancer can be removed from the body. And when the social body is too much disease, is too much suffering because of these cancer-like demons, they have to be removed. Is it sanctioned? Well, it must be because God comes himself and does it. You know, it's one of the devotees' favorite pictures. Mother Jadarani's depicting the Sringadev killing Hiranyakashipu. I remember I first brought my mother to the Berkeley Temple. We're going through the pictures. She thought, oh, what's this creature? I said, oh, that's God, Mom. Who's that little boy? Oh, that's Paladma. He's a great saint. And that's his daddy getting killed. God's killing his daddy. What kind of God is this? Our God is loving and compassionate. I said, isn't the picture, I just said to a devotee, isn't the picture beautiful, Mom? So is this authorized? Tadjacha manyum asurascha hatashtvayati. My Lord Nrsingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed, since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. All the worlds have achieved great satisfaction.
Why can these scorpions and snakes be killed? One time Prabhupada was visiting his Guru Maharaj in Mayapur. You know, in Mayapur we have the Shiva Sangam, and we have the Yoga Pith where Chaitanya appeared, and then a little further down the road, away from our center, Mayapur Chandran Mandir, that going in that opposite direction, you have the residence of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That was his headquarters for his Gaudiya Math. And his Samadhi Mandir is there, the sacred Samadhi is there, as is the Samadhi Mandir of his Guru Maharaj, Gaurav Shodra Swami Maharaj. So there's a house there, a two-story house, and we hear the story how one time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was chanting japa on the veranda, and he looked down on the lawn, his disciples were milling about, he saw a cobra. He said, kill it. And our Prabhupada remarks, he remarked that when his Guru Maharaj said, kill the snake, he had a doubt. How is it Guru Maharaj is ordering the killing of a living entity? Because vidya vinaya samhane brahmani gave hastani suni chaiva sapakicha pandita samadharshana. A learned person, he sees with equal vision a hasti, an elephant, a cow, a brahman, an elephant, a cow, a dog, and a dog eater. So here, how's Guru Maharaj is ordering the killing of this Magrari? After becoming purified, he wouldn't hurt an ant. But later, Prabhupada said he read that verse which I just quoted, where saintly persons take pleasure in killing. Why? Because those type of creatures, they bite without a reason. They don't need a reason. Some animals, they act in self-defense. Generally, if you don't mistreat an animal, he won't bite you. Prabhupada was walking in Melbourne with the devotees down by the zoo. They went to the zoo for a little peek. There was a tiger there, and the devotee went and kind of rattled the cage, and the tiger, he came forth. Devotee, Prabhupada said, be careful. After all, he is a tiger. he's a tiger. So if you don't disturb them, generally they won't disturb you unless they're really, really hungry. The nature of animals. But some animals, they just like to bite. In the Panchatantra, there's a story of the scorpion who wanted to cross the river. It was like a strong current. He wanted to cross the river. But he couldn't go across himself. He's an insect. So he asked a horse. Horse? Let me climb on your back and you swim across the river. The horse said, are you kidding? You'll bite me. No, I won't. Yes, you will. So he asked the dog, will you please carry me across the river on your back? The dog said, woof, woof, no way, Maharaj. Then he asked the donkey, sir, I need quickly to get across. Will you take me? And then camel came. Camel has big body, but he like brain. Hey, you take me, please? Oh, but if I take you, you will bite me. You will sting me on my back. Oh, no, no, I promise I won't, I won't. You won't? Okay, jump up. So the scorpion climbed in the back of the camel, and they started going, the camel started swimming across the river. And halfway across the river, the scorpion stung him in the back. And due to the poison, he froze and he started to drown. And as they're both going under, the camel said to the scorpion, hey, you said you weren't going to bite and sting me. The scorpion said, what can I do, Baba? It's my nature to sting. I can't help myself. So like that, these demons, they lash out. When we were in the Amazon jungle for several months, 1989, we got a very nice boat from the governor of the Amazon, his wife, and they gave us supplies and gave us men for a crew for, it was a big, huge boat, powerful. It was the governor's boat. So we loaded that boat up and we went deep, deep, deep into the Amazon. And we were doing kirtan on the boat, and then we had a little boat. It was such a huge boat. It was maybe twice as, well, as big as this temple from there to the very end. Huge, like a millions of dollars boat, given by the one sheik in the Middle East, the governor of the Amazon. So we were the first ones to use it, but they liked us. So we had a little boat, we would go up the tributaries, and we would go into the villages, and we would chant Hare Krishna. We were young and brave and foolish, and cooked big pots of, you know, prasadam and khichdi, and luckily we didn't end up in the pots ourselves. But that was dangerous enough. When we would walk through the jungle to go from village to village, there were lots of snakes, and I didn't realize it when we first started, and you know, we almost got bit several times. The snakes lunged at us, but we were far enough away, or pushed the boat out of the way. It was horrific. Especially we had three men and four women, and the women went nuts. So the home is like 6,000 miles away, and I'm like, just cool it. But one nomad tribe who we met, because you would meet nomads like they were hunters, and they would go with their families and their babies, and whatever they had they would carry, and they would set up camp in different places. We met several of them. Interestingly enough, they told us that, because I was speaking about the reptiles, I saw a big lizard. I said, "Did you guys ever see a big lizard?" I remember the first nomad tribe we met. I said, "Oh yes, we see lizards deep, like 2 months journey into the jungle, where no new white men go. There's big lizards." I said, "How big? Like this? Like this?" I mean, no. Like from here to there? No. And they would, so from there to there. A lizard? So then I'd say, "Draw it," and they would draw a Tyrannosaurus rex. Or they would draw a Brontosaurus. And the first time I thought, "That guy's just get out of here." But these were the most honest people I've ever met on earth. The most honest. Sometimes we would leave. I left my camera one time, and we went 2 days further up, and they actually followed and brought the camera back. They never stole, and they never mistreated us, and they never lied to us. So the next nomads we left, we met about a week later. I asked the same question: "Where do you go?" "We go everywhere in the jungle." I said, "Have you ever seen big lizards?" Mm-hmm. "Like this?" "Like this." "Okay, draw them." And they would draw Tyrannosaurus rex, and I'd say, "So what?" "Big translator." So he said, "These ones eat these ones." These ones, they don't eat the flesh, they eat the, in the jungle. It's very steamy in there. It's area protected by very high ridges and mountains. And it's our secret place where we go and we get special food. But sometimes big lizards, they capture us. And the big finders, Rex, and he drew a picture of one of their people being eaten in the jaws of what I would call a dinosaur. I'm just leaving you with that. I'm not coming to any conclusion, but we met seven of these nomad groups, and they all said the same thing. There's a special area in the Amazon where white men have never gone, and you go over the mountains into the valley, and it's very steamy and swampy, and they drew these birds, you know, yeah, there's lots of those. And they, none of them were meeting, or they were all different places. Hare Krishna. What was that movie, Jurassic Park?
As George Harrison said, all things come to pass.
So anyway, they taught us how to survive in the jungle. So many things they taught us. Once I was walking in this hive of insects in a ball, they just dropped from a tree and splashed on my back. That's how they do it. And they bit me from the neck down to my ankles. And I heard many men die of shock. But I was young at the time, very strong. And oh, did I suffer for 10 days. I cried like a baby. So painful. So they taught us how to look out for those because they're a certain color. And he said, you look for that color. Pteranobias are moths that night they come and they're very beautiful and they're very friendly. And they land and you want to put them on your fingers. This is their trick. Their sting is more potent than a cobra bite. We learned a lot of things there. They taught us how to avoid the snakes, who are always going to bite. The snakes are there, so you walk one, two, three, and the fourth is a space, and then the fourth person. Like one, two, three, space, fourth person. I remember when the Indian chief was teaching us, I said, what? This is crazy. He said, no crazy one, man, no crazy. You crazy, you come by jungle, you know nothing. So the first person wakes the snake up. The second person walks, the snake is gathering it. Third person causes them to pose for a strike, also always bites the fourth person in line. So he said, you have one claw on a stick. The fourth person carries a stick with a cloth on it. And the snake thinks that's a person. So do like that. These guys are nuts. And we did it. And 20 minutes later, believe it or not, there were seven of us walking in. A snake leapt out and bit that cloth. Hare Krishna. So Chandrapanda says there's seven living entities that should never unnecessarily be awoken from sleep. Try to remember them. The serpent, the king, the tiger, the stinging wasp, the small child, the dog, who is owned by other people, and the fool. These seven should never be awoken from sleep. But of the demoniac person and the snake, who's more dangerous? Chandrakapanda says, Sarpa, Kura, Kala, Kama. There are two envious creatures, a snake and an envious man. He says, of the two, Sarpa, Kura, Kala, Kura. The envious man is more dangerous than the snake. Why? Mantra, Sahi, Rasha, Sarpa, Kala, Kena, Nivariyate. You can subdue a snake by herbs and by chanting particular types of mantras. But a demoniac person who is envious cannot be pacified in any way. Oh, these shastras are so nectar. So they have to be removed, and that can be done by God. And how does he do it? Oh, he's so excellent. He's got his gada. Gada means his club, he's got his wheel, he's got his chakra. He's called Chakrapani. The god of Chakrapani. He who carries the wheel. In Varaha, the hoof. Shringa, the nails. Of course, Lord, he has an unlimited arsenal. He's got an unlimited arsenal. Once there was a great demon called Nemani. Nemani, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashi, he took a boon from Brahma. Brahma, you know, he gives these boons to the demons, and after Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, he turned to Brahma and he said, stop giving boons to the demons, man. You got four heads, just look what happened, just snap someone tells you. So Nemani, he went to Brahma and he said, I want a boon that I won't be killed by any sword, knife, club, lance, noose, poison, and no weapon that is wet or dry. Because there are many subtle weapons in days as you are, like water, air, fire. So he said, I don't want to be killed by any weapon which is wet
or dry.
He thought he had all the bases covered. So this is in the Sringa Purana. Sringa appears in many ages. So there's a fight between Nemini and Sringadeva. Nemini gets a little scared and he runs and he hides in a cave. And Sringadeva comes to the cave. And Nemini said, ha 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 ha, you can't kill me because I'm covered in all bases. So the Sringa Purana says that the Sringadeva manifested foam and covered it with foam and suffocated. The Sringa Purana says foam is neither wet nor dry. Bhagavan Narasingadeva, you're deep. Well, this is quite amazing. But don't feel sorry for these characters because Krishna is Hari. And Hari means, I have till 9:15 according to the boss. Hari means he who takes away all inauspiciousness. When you come to the temple and you see the beautiful face of Govindaji, he's looking at you. And his vision is pure. You're not just, darshan doesn't mean to see Krishna. Darshan means, more important, Krishna's seeing you. What is your vision? What do you see? At this stage, what do we see? When Prabhupada saw the deities, he would sometimes cry. We are restless after 30 seconds and we have to go. What do we see? We know, my Lord, you're not a statue, you're directly the son of Maharaj Nanda. But our faith is not so evolved. We don't have an autocrat. But Lord, when he sees you, oh, adoshukha tata sadhu sunga ta bhajana kriya anarkana priti syat. Cheto dharkana marcha. Stand there as long as you can. Because in the sunshine of the Lord's mercy, the darkness in your heart is all being destroyed. The Lord is all powerful. So he's Hari. And we take that mercy in a very palatable way. The demons, unfortunately, have to take it in a very unpalatable way. Yes, they have a major, you know, heart surgery. But he's Hari. And when the Lord kills Hiranyakashipu, then Prahlad said, what about my daddy? Look at my daddy. Okay, no, don't worry. By the touch of my nails, he's become liberated. Meaning he didn't just, Lord didn't just take out the heart and the entrails. He took out the lust, he took out the anger, he took out the greed. So take your choice. You can get the Lord's mercy by chanting, dancing, and feasting. Or if you want to degrade yourself so low as to become a demon and so powerful, you can also meet Krishna and he'll become Hari. But I think it's more sense to come to the temple and sing and dance. But they... Anyone who has any doubts says, still I think your God is very cruel. Hey. No, they get moved. And I think in chapter 28, this is chapter 19, chapter 28, there's a purport where Prabhupada says that the demigods were astonished that the Lord allowed Hiranyaksha to gaze upon his face as he died and achieve the perfection of yoga liberation. What about Agasura, Shishupal? Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Bhagavan Shri Krishna, Jai. He's so merciful. And even more spectacular, Bhutan went to Glok. Usually they merge, they get some type of salvation to demons. Bhutan, when she died, what happened to her? She became a gopi. Whoa. Lord is so kind. This is elaborated on the Brahma. Vivarta, Purana, and Jiva Goswami analyzes this in his Tattva Sandarbha. I'll just finish with this passage. It's so inherent. There, in Tattva Sandarbha, he elaborates that Shukadeva Goswami, he was in the womb of his mother for how many years?
16.
He's a monist. He didn't want to come out. In, out, all one, I am you, and you and me, and we are all together. So then, Jiva Goswami says, Srila Vyasadeva requested Krishna to come and ask Srila Goswami to come out, you know, because she is the poor mother. And Krishna told Shukadeva, I promise you, if you come out, you will not fall under illusion. This is all Ramadevata Prana. So, but when Shukadeva Goswami came out, he was a very renounced person. He couldn't be more renounced than that. He had no attachment to this world. And he looked around, his dasa grihasta, this griha, pumsha, striyami, turi, bhavam, tayo, mrito, hridaya grante moho! Ho, ho, ho! The attraction between male and female is a basic principle of material existence. It's the super glue. Based on this misconception, which ties together hridaya granting, a double knot in water, of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his wife, to the husband, to the body, to the home, to the children. This way one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and I. The brahmacharis, they live in the monastery, they live in the sanctuary. We need the sanctuary for our celibate students. And Bob said, hey, no woman, no cry. So Shukadeva Goswami came out and he saw this household, said, with all due respect, because household life is also not. But Prabhupada did say to the brahmacharis in Atlanta when he was visiting there, Grihastha means 90% chance of coming back.
Yeah.
And brahmachari, 40% chance of coming back. All glories to our sattva back. Brahmachari! There's only one. May God be with you. Go team Jai. So he ran away from home. But Vyasadeva, he was very disturbed because a grihastha's solemn duty is to raise his child in Krishna consciousness. This is the grihastha's very essential gift to human society. Bhakti Sarasvati, he said, if I would have 1,000 children if I could guarantee they would all be pure devotees of the Lord. Krishna says, I am sex like, which is not contrary to religious principles. So there's the Brahmacharya lecture and there's the Vyasa lecture. We don't have time right now. But Srila Vyasadeva ran after his son, and because the son had no material desires, he ran past the ladies bathing in the Kund. They didn't bother to cover themselves. But when Srila Vyasadeva ran by, because Grihastha has to make distinguish between male and female, then they covered themselves, and he couldn't catch up to his son. His son ran off into the forest. Vyasadeva, he's so intelligent, Shaktamish Avatar, literary incarnation of God. He's thinking how to get my son back. And he's a monist, he has no attraction to anything. He's not Krishna Bhakti, it's Leela, but he's not Krishna Bhakti. It's all Leela, he is, but for the pastime. Srila Vyasadeva, he sent his disciples into the forest, chanting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. The 10th canto of Bhagavatam. But when the boy saw Shukadeva Goswami, he was so wild, he was so detached, they thought he was a ghost. And they began chanting even louder. But the effect was that Shukadeva Goswami became even more attracted. Why? Because at that point they were chanting one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. 10th canto, 6th chapter, verse 36 and 37, classic verse. I don't know the Sanskrit. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always situated within the core of the heart of the pure devotee, and he's always offered prayers by such worshipable personalities as Brahma and Shiva. Because Krishna embraced Putana's body with great pleasure and sucked her breast, although she was a great witch, she attained the position of a mother in the transcendental world and achieved the highest perfection. What then is to be said of the cows whose nipples Krishna sucked with great pleasure and who offered their milk very jubilantly with affection, exactly like that of a mother? When Shukadeva Goswami heard that verse, He heard of Krishna's inconceivable mercy. He ran back to his father. That verse is what changed him from a monist to a pure devotee, the great Shukadeva Goswami. Of course, he was always a devotee, but this is a pastime. He's always a pure devotee. But to show his astonishment that Krishna was so merciful to Putana that she achieved the position of a monist. So the demigods, they were astonished by the mercy of Varaha. This Aranyaksha got liberated. As Sukadeva Goswami was astonished by the mercy of Krishna, it made him, just like four Kumaras, they gave up their monism when they smelled the incense offered to Lord Vishnu. So these are persons. Maya bodies, they're also persons, but they go out of their way to defame, speak ill of Krishna. But impersonalists, they're just focusing on one of Krishna's aspects, the impersonal Brahman. They're not envious. They come in contact with the personality of Godhead, they're devotees. So of course these stories of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Putana, they're isolated instances of Krishna's astonishing mercy. But actually nowadays, the same astonishing thing is happening, all by the mercy of the most merciful incarnation of God ever to appear. Mo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Govindaya. Goswami, upon hearing about and understanding and the divine personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that verse flowed from his mouth like the Ganges. Mo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prem Vidayate Krishna Krishna. There's no more merciful incarnation. Varaha, Nishringa, Kurma. No, none of them compared to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because those other incarnations, their mercy was taken up by the Brahmanas. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaritaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. To enter into fire, you have to become like fire. To get that pure mercy of God, you have to be pure. You have to be Brahmana to do the yajna, Brahmana to touch the deity. But in this incarnation, persons like Jagai and Madhai, they're getting the ultimate mercy. They're not just getting moksha, they're getting liberation, not even to Vaikuntha. They're getting Braj Bhakti. Oh, this incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so amazing. And although we're hearing these histories that are taking place, Purana means very ancient histories of the universe, we are so fortunate that you could say, we, all of us sitting in this room, we are the recipients of the same mercy. Oh, I would like to be like, you know, I would like to get some special mercy too. No, you have. You've got the special mercy. You've come in contact with Lord Chaitanya through his mercy of flooding the world with the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. If the Lord's mercy in previous ages can deliver people like Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, make your voice in on him, Kamsa, Shishupal, Jagai Madhai, then they were very powerful demoniac persons. Cannot his mercy also touch us? We're little tota demons. We're like you say in Russia, choo-choo. Little. We're nothing compared to these persons. So the Lord's compassion can fall upon, therefore Narottam says, my Lord, you're the deliverer of the most fallen in Kali Yuga. My claim first, I'm most fallen to live in me first. Doesn't mean you should try to become more and more fallen so that God can tell me to see you. But if he sees a little bit of sincerity on your part, then he will purify you. And that purifying process is there for everyone. as we often quote, you just have to let the Lord know. As Rupa Goswami prays in his Padyavali, my dear Lord, I'm drowning in the fathomless whirlpool of material existence. Please, just this one time, won't you extend your hand to save me? And he asks, what is the extension of God's mercy to purify those few material desires in your heart compared to the others? It's very simple. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So we can also astound the future historians, just like our transcendental historians, they wrote down for our benefit, to give us hope. These ancient pastimes, how even the demons receive and achieve such exalted. So Prabhupada said, one day, he said this, one day historians will know how this Krishna conscious movement saved the world in its darkest hour. He told that to Guru Das in London in 1972. One day historians will write how the International Society for Krishna Consciousness saved the world in its darkest hour. So anyone who comes in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he can achieve these exalted destinations. Beyond just becoming free of sinful reactions, material desires, but you can awaken your love for God. What kind of love? Love of the Braja Bhaktis, and go all the way back home, back to Radha, to Sri Goloka Vrindavan, all by the mercy of God.